You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Bar the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. Today, we're talking about medical procedures, and we bring this up because this is something that ends up impacting an awful lot of kids, both because they're either recommended an intensive medical procedure or because they need to get a medical procedure unrelated to PANS and they have implications or impacts from having that medical procedure. Jody, would you like to start with the medical procedures that are often recommended or the ones that are the way kids are impacted by other medical procedures?
I think it's easier for me to start with how they're impacted by other medical procedures, because that was played such a big role in what we had going on. And man, I wish I would have been able to listen to this podcast right whenever we had our onset, because it was so confusing for me in the very beginning. I think for both, so the first procedure that Avery had was she had some work done on her teeth. And after that, she was, I think that's right around the time where she went and I'm getting it all confused. There was two different procedures. And I remember after her teeth, the procedure she had with the dentist, things were significantly worse. But I think more than anything, what stands out to me was she had tubes and adenoids. And man, I still have trauma from what happened during that procedure, because it was just the wildest. She woke up and just was completely and totally out of control, just screaming, flailing, kicking, biting, going absolutely crazy. And the hospital sent us home like that. And then afterwards, things just got worse and worse. So it was like Avery had PANS, and then all of a sudden, Avery had, like, it was just a completely different level. And at that time, I didn't know anything about, like, I didn't know that the specific things with procedures that could potentially make our kids worse. And so for me, it was really scary, like, what the heck is going on thing. It was very traumatic.
And like many parents, you had a lot of these procedures done early on. I think some of them were in the process of trying to figure out what was going on before you actually got the diagnosis of PANS. So we can see when you don't even know what's happening, so you can't possibly prepare, that when your kids are having to go in for like an EGD because of, like, to check it and see if there's anything going on in their esophageal, gastrointestinal tract, if they're going under for dental stuff because they've got a lot of things going on, and dental things, as we talked about in a previous episode, I think it was episode 24, about dental stuff. A lot of kids, they have to get put under to go and get dental work done, especially extensive things. And then, like we talked about in our episode on methylation and genetic SNPs, if people have got variants with how they can handle and process certain things, especially the MTHFR variants, that can make it really hard for them to process the anesthesia that's used in all these procedures. Even something as simple as like laughing gas can be harder for kids who have PANS or PANDAS, and then especially for anybody who has variants with MTHFR that makes it harder to process folic acid and do methylation in general. And so so a lot of times people will find that they go through these different procedures as part of the diagnostic workup, or that something comes along as part of like another underlying condition that they've got going on that can send them into a little bit of a tailspin. And then you've got the flip side, where there can be some pretty intensive medical procedures that are recommended, including, I always include the tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy, which I know that your daughter had, but not specifically related to PANS. She had it because of recurrent ear infections that she had been experiencing, like basically since birth. But there's a lot of kids who it's recommended as a treatment for PANS, especially if the antibiotics are no longer effective and things like that. So there's the tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy. There's IVIG, which I lump into like a pretty intensive medical procedure. And then plasmapheresis is another one that's not commonly used. It's pretty hard to get approved for plasmapheresis, but it is something that we've got some people who get recommended that for PANS PANDAS treatment. And so even some of these things that are intended to help with the PANS diagnosis can contribute to flares and worsening. And in the tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy, some people, I mean, it must be effective for some people because they wouldn't keep recommending it, right? If it wasn't effective for some people. I will say that I am biased because of my experiences generally with people who have done all of the things and then it wasn't effective and that's how they found us. So I've seen an awful lot of people who've gotten it done and it didn't really change anything. And if anything, in some cases made things a little bit worse. I personally had my tonsils out when I was 8 and I think that it made things a little bit worse for me because I was already showing some signs of PANS prior to that. And then after the surgery, things really sort of tanked for a while. So there's a whole bunch of things that we could talk about here. Ultimately, a lot of this goes back to, this is probably going to be on a shorter episode because a lot of this really harkens back to the detox stuff and the genetic things. But we just want to acknowledge that these are things that are possible that could happen as a result of it. And Jody, I would love if you would share a little bit about your experience with IVIG. For those of you guys who don't know what IVIG is, it's intravenous immunoglobulin. So it's basically where we take a bunch of pooled blood products and we get the IG, the immunoglobulins, out and we from donors, and then we give them to children who have PANS or PANDAS. It can be used in a lot of other autoimmune conditions. Lots and lots of different things. So it's not just for PANS and PANDAS that it's recommended. So they can have a lot of side effects. I personally have concerns about it because there are risks where we're dealing with these kids that we've talked about before, Jody, that we're like the canaries in the coal mine. And they're so sensitive to all the things. And I have concerns that there are things we don't know to screen out in the pooled blood products that we're using from these thousands of people who are donating to be used in our kids. So I have a little bit of concerns about that, but for some people, it's really, really great, you know? So it's like a little niggling concern. It's not a definite no for it. There are side effects that come with it. And so you have to use high dose steroids to help mitigate some of the side effects, especially like the headaches that can come as a result of it. Jody, I know that your experience with IVIG that was not what you expected. And I think that it's important that people just talk about the fact that sometimes IVIG goes the opposite direction than you think that it might be.
Yeah, IVIG is my big regret from all of it, because I knew like everything in me told me not to do IVIG, but at the time I was doing the best with the information I had. I didn't know that there was anything else. I thought IVIG was the very end of the road other than plasmapheresis. But I thought that was like, okay, like we've tried all this stuff. It didn't work. This is the next thing. And I wanted to help her as quickly as possible. And so we went in with really, really high hopes. And I knew probably about an hour into it that it was the wrong decision. And I could visibly see things starting to go wrong. I could see Avery's body responding in a negative way. I could see things getting worse. And we finished that treatment in the next 3 or 4 days were absolute hell. We were back in the ER. It was not even that time. It was what happened after that. It was the month, 2 months after that, where we were just like, okay, we're going to settle in. We're going to wait for what they're talking about. We're going to wait for those good effects to happen. And with Avery, she just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the good never came for her. In her, you know, for some reason, her body responded that way. Not everybody does, like you said, but for her, and it makes sense to me now because pretty much most of the things that we tried on her made her worse. And so for us, IVIG didn't work out. I am a I am a big believer and preacher of we all have to find what works for our children. And I fully acknowledge that removing tonsils helps some kids. IVIG helps some kids. And that is fantastic. I've also been around for a while and I've seen enough of those kids regress. I've seen lots of moms say, but I got the tonsils out. Why is it back? Or we've been doing monthly IVIG for 2 years. Why are the symptoms back? And so this is, again, why I always go back to homeopathy and fixing the actual susceptibility, as opposed to, I hate that some kids have to do the regular IVIG forever and ever. And even with Avery, I'll correct you on something you said earlier. I fought so hard to get her tonsils out. And we did a sleep study and everything. And he said, no, he's like, no, it's not medically necessary. We're not going to add anything else, not taking him out. I was devastated because he wouldn't take her tonsils out. And she healed with those tonsils in her head. So that thing is very much possible, but I want everyone to fully heal. I want everyone to address susceptibility, everyone that can to address susceptibility, so we don't have to depend on these things forever. I always revert back to homeopathy. So, we don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, beyond just the addressing the susceptibility and like having to like go through the constantly and ever escalating levels of medical procedures that can tend to happen when you don't address the susceptibility, homeopathy can help if you've had a kiddo who has gone through a medical procedure and had a negative reaction to it, because that negative reaction is itself part of the susceptibility, right? And so that's one of the things that's beautiful about homeopathy is that it's not just looking at like this thing and then this thing and then this thing as if they're separate. It's really recognizing that the totality of what a person is experiencing in a state of unwellness is all connected to that same internal susceptibility and that attunement of the vital force. And so Samuel Hahnemann, even the founder of homeopathy, he even talks about in one of his writings, it's in his book, Lesser Writings, that from like years and years and years ago, he was a prolific writer. Obviously years and years ago, the man died in the 1800s. So obviously years and years ago. So he even talked about how the reaction that people have to medication, so like medication side effects, and that would include procedural side effects or side effects from medications used in procedures, that homeopathy can help with, because that is part of their susceptibility, like the specific way that they react or the specific side effects that they get. And the same thing would be true for healing from the trauma of a procedure itself, that we can, our bodies will heal on their own in most cases. And then if we're having any complications from a procedure, the way that our body is having a complication is, again, specific to our unique susceptibility, and the right stimulus from homeopathy can help to nudge the body in the right direction so that we can heal from that as well. Anything else that you want to add to for parents, any like big hugs for people like you said that you wish you'd listen to this episode before you'd gone through all of the stuff with your daughter early on? What would you have liked to have said to yourself, or what could you offer to past Jody that she might have needed to hear?
I think the very first thing was just like knowing that it's a possibility that it might happen. But also, like, I'll borrow your saying is don't borrow trouble, because it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen with every child. But if it does happen, it's a thing. It can potentially happen. It's part of it. It's really traumatic, but typically, as time goes on, things do get better. And with healing, like you were just saying, homeopathy can help help the body recover from all of that. And also, as a mom, help you recover from whatever trauma you've been through. Yeah. But again, I don't want anybody to take this that's at the very beginning of their PANS journey and be like, oh my gosh, we have to do all of these things and this thing is going to happen, because Avery had an MRI where she had to be sedated. She had a endoscopy. She had those things and she was totally okay through them. It was the other procedures that were rough on her. So I don't want you to like borrow stress and worry, because it's not necessarily going to happen with all of our kids. But if it does happen, you know, there's things that can help kind of calm that.
Yeah. Reaction. And the reality is, with so many things, when we're dealing with health, we're dealing with two not great choices, right? And so we have to sometimes make the choice of what is better. I mean, I'm honestly dealing with it right now. At the time of this recording, I'm preparing in a month to have my daughter's tonsils and adenoids removed. Not because she has PANS, but because she's has obstruction when she's sleeping, and her tonsils do get a bit smaller. Like right now, they're a little bit smaller. They're still pretty big, but they're a little bit smaller. And so I'm like, oh, am I making the right decision? But the reality is, like, if she can't sleep, because she's choking herself awake all the time, it's a problem, right? And so the reality is, if you are a parent who is in that place where you are facing one of those decisions, like this or this, and it's, they both seem really difficult, make a decision, and homeopathy can help you with whatever the decision is and whatever possible side effects. You might be lucky and have no issues at all. But if you do have issues, homeopathy is helpful in recovery from all of it. So, all right. We're going to wrap for today, and the next episode, the next several episodes, we're going to get into the really the nitty gritty of homeopathy and making sure, you know, we talk about it in almost, well, in probably every episode, we've talked about it at least a little bit. So now we're going to get into a lot of the details about what homeopathy is, how remedies selected, finding remedies, like how the process really works. And then once we get through that, so that you've got a good foundation and understanding the basics of homeopathy, we'll get into a lot more of the nitty gritty type of questions that people will ask about how to navigate recovery using homeopathy, and the ups and downs, the various questions that come up in our group. And we'll probably even bring you some questions where we take, or some episodes where we take some questions live from our Facebook group and share those with you, because we find that they're really, really important topics that could be really beneficial for people to hear in lots of different settings. So we hope that you'll join us for the next several episodes where we can give you sort of a crash course on homeopathy, so that you can really have that framework for everything else that we talk about in this podcast moving forward. So hopefully you've enjoyed it until so far. Please give us feedback. Send us any thoughts that you have, questions that you have, things that you would love to hear us talk about to podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. The email will be in the show notes. As always, we would love to have you join us in our Facebook group and let us know how things are doing and how we could serve you more. Until next time, guys, take care.
Bye.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for Pans and Pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.